Good morning. If any of y'all have ever given a talk, you know it changes about 12 times. If you've ever preached or, I lost count at 12. I started out with one thing and then I went, it's all around the same umbrella, but I know that God's going to change it. I knew that. I couldn't stop crying. The minute we started singing, I couldn't stop crying. So will you go with me in prayer? Father God, we boldly come to your throne room and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We thank you, Father God, that we are all individuals you made us to be. We are all also one, the family that you have designed. We thank you, Father God, that we're under your blood. We're under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been taken care of so well, Lord, through your Son, through the Holy Spirit, through your love. So, Lord, as we listen to your word this morning, thank you, Father God, for your word does not fall on deaf ears. We thank you for opening up our blinders, that the Holy Spirit just doesn't touch somebody, that we are moved by your word. We are moved by your love. We are moved by what you have for us that's just waiting. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to light the fire underneath us, Father, that your love will take us places that we never dreamt of going. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you bless it, and it is given in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the title of my message is The Harvest. I tried to count once, and I think that I have actually heard over 2,200 sermons. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ when I was 16 years old. When I turned 51, I had so many people make a comment to me about, "You're old." No, I'm not. And I know I'm not. And the words that were spoken over me, I renounced them. So, are you on Medicaid? No, I'm not on Medicaid. No, and I'm not going to accept you thinking that I'm old because I'm not. Somehow, some way in our minds, it's been planted that age has all these seasons. For instance, when we say things like, "I was giddy as a 12-year-old little schoolgirl," or "I had the energy of a 10-year-old boy." Why? And who started that? Anyway, we're going to talk about words as well. An old farmer sat on the steps of his small shack, chewing on a piece of straw. He was approached by a passing stranger who was looking for a cool drink of water. Wishing to start a conversation with the farmer, the stranger asked, "How is your cotton crop growing this year?" "I ain't got none," replied the farmer. "Didn't you plant any?" asked the stranger. "Nope," said the farmer. "I was afraid the boll weevils would get in it." "Well," asked the stranger, "how is your corn crop then?" "Didn't plant any corn either," replied the man. "I was afraid there wasn't going to be any rain." "If you didn't plant any cotton or corn, what did you plant?" asked the man. "Nothing," said the farmer. "I just played it incredibly safe." "Well, I guess if you don't plant anything, it makes the harvest a lot easier, doesn't it?" Silly? Exactly. Silly, but to the point. We're changing seasons. Right here, I love the fall. It is my most favorite season. I've got a couple of things right here. They're fall bucket lists. Go to the pumpkin patch. Pick apples. Enjoy a hayride. Decorate for the season. Try a new fall drink. Carve or paint pumpkins. Make leaf prints. Watch a football game. Try a new pumpkin recipe. Do a family service project. Drink apple cider. Go to a corn maze. Jump in a leaf pile. Enjoy a fair. Make homemade soup. Go to a Veterans Day parade. Host a game night. Plant bulbs for next spring. Bake a pie. Take a family walk at dusk. Make Thanksgiving table decorations. Take fall family pictures. Go to a new fall festival. Make button leaf branches. Start a Christmas craft. That last one's probably for me. A couple more in here. Apple picking on a hayride. Enjoy a bonfire with s'mores. Make caramel apples. Go on 2 family dates. Make fall cookies. Decorate, carve, paint pumpkins. Drink a fancy coffee drink. I really like the fancy coffee drink. I love all of them. Honestly, fall is my most favorite time of the year. In Genesis 8:22, it says, changing of the seasons. While the earth remain, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and a day and a night shall not cease. After God destroyed the earth with flood, he made this promise, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and a day and night shall not cease. Our days change into nights. Our days get shorter, our nights get longer as far as the color of the sky is outside. Our seasons change with the weather. We're going through the change of summer to autumn, the time of harvest. Now, my uncle has a farm, and I want a farm. I want a farm, and I want a ranch. I've always wanted one. I work on my uncle's farm sometimes. I don't as much as I used to. I love planting. I love harvesting. I love all there is to do with a farm. When we plant things, when my uncle plants his wheat field, I took this to a new dimension. I have a student, and he tells me all the time, I teach special education, so he tells me, JD, I don't need to know math to be a farmer. I don't like math. And I said, oh, Wade, my sweet little guy, yes, you do. You need to not only know math, but you need to be kind of a scientist as well. I said, why? Why, JD? And I said, well, you need to know the pH balance in your soil. You also need to know the crop that you planted last year. You need to know how much your square footage is for you to know how many rows you get to plant, what you get to plant, and how much whatever you plant needs sections to grow. So do you plant them every 2 inches or every 2 feet? I said, oh, that to be a farmer? Yeah, there's even more. And he's like, I didn't know. You have to know what you're planting. You have to know. There's a lot into planting. We're emotional beings. If I am impatient one morning with my kids getting ready for school, what did I just plant? And let me tell you, it happens more than I want to fully admit. But I'm an open book. It does. It happens. I get frustrated. I'm learning how not to. My parents planted those seeds to me. So what did that turn out? A crop of impatience. Am I angry at times? Yes. I got angry this morning on the way here. Seriously, I did. I want to be the most open book preacher there is. I really do. Because God works through all of us. He does. Now, my dad, bless his heart, I have no idea the things that was planted in his life because my grandmother was just amazing. And she planted patience and love and joy and forgiveness. And my dad didn't have those seeds at here very well. I had very tough growing up. He yelled a lot. I don't yell like I used to, but I yell a lot. That's hard. And when I look on my kids' faces and as in the middle of yelling at them. Now, I don't do things like, what were you thinking, stupid? My dad did. Spilt milk. What were you thinking, stupid? And I still can feel that as like I was 10 years old. That's what happened. I don't know why that's so impressed upon me. But at the same time, those are seeds. So we're going to talk more about seeds. We change the clothes we wear as the days get shorter and the weather becomes cooler. The trees change appearance as the leaves go through brilliant color changes, then fall to the ground. The air seems crisp and we enjoy the smell of fresh seasonal baked goods. Maybe a bonfire and a wonderful new adventures welcoming of familiar fall activities. Maybe the great pumpkin Charlie Brown is on TV in the background, carving pumpkins or painting them. Our food even changes from barbecuing outside to warm kitchens with soups and stews, casseroles, and soon-to-be Thanksgiving meals and preparations. Preparations for holidays. We experience many changes with the change in seasons. Different reasons give us a hope. However, as we soon go through this time we have this morning, we're going to find out what it is our seeds really do. I just painted a very pretty fall autumn picture, and I am sure gave you a few ideas for fun stuff to do and enjoy as I read our fall bucket lists. So I'm going to read Genesis 8:22 again. I'm going to go a little bit more into what could have been going on. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night. Now remember, this is, as I had said before, this is right after Noah, okay, right after the flood. As they had done or seemed to do during the flood, for the year past, there had been no seed time, no harvest, and it must have been, for the most part, damp and cold through the rains. And the abundance of water on earth, that the difference of seasons, was not very discernible, as neither of days and nights at some times, especially when the clouds were so black and thick over the heavens that neither sun, moon, or stars could be seen, and such floods of water continually pouring down, that it must have been difficult to know when it was day and when it was night. But for the future, it was promised that these should not cease as long as the world stands, seed time and harvest, the time of sowing seed in the earth and the time of gathering in the fruits of when it was ripe, so necessary for the sustenance of our life. I can't imagine. I get lost in reading the Bible. I do. I can't. Like, when they have a movie that comes out about the Bible and about the flood and about things like that, like, I imagine me there. I imagine my family and my kids, and I imagine y'all there. I imagine what would we be doing. How would we handle a bunch of animals on a ship that's moving very, very fast and going up and down? I really put myself in the middle of a movie or in the middle of the story. I'm a very visual person, so when I read the Bible and then I see a story about it, as usual, the Bible is better than the story that's on the big screen, but at the same time, you're able to put yourself there. One time somebody asked me what my favorite movie was, and I said The Passion of Christ. When I watched The Passion of Christ, I was very pregnant with Isabella. We went as a church. Pastor thought it would be funny to balance popcorn on my tummy, and it was funny. But I sat there, and I ate my popcorn and started drinking my drink, and The Passion of the Christ starts, and the movie starts, and the very opening is incredibly wow. And all of a sudden, I ate no popcorn. I didn't drink a drink, and it felt like the movie went that quick because it was just so intense. I remember getting up and thinking, I wonder if Isabella felt all of that. I wonder if she felt all of that emotion, the things that I'm crying and weeping about, the things that were in The Passion of the Christ. I went to see it two other times. Because I just was so, I didn't get popcorn and drink because I knew that I wouldn't touch it. And when you're so involved in a movie that you don't touch your snacks. But I did. I wondered for a long time if that was something that Isabella ever felt. We sow into the kingdom of God. We cannot reap life everlasting unless we sow repentance. We cannot reap forgiveness unless we sow love. We cannot reap love if we do not sow love. Some people have sown bad seeds and then pray for what ends up being sometimes a failed harvest. Let us look at bad seeds sown. Bad words, criticism, anger, bitterness, resentment. In other words, the power of our words and attitude of voices we listen to. I asked Pastor to put both the Message and the NIV version of Proverbs 18:21. The Message says, words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. That's pretty harsh, huh? That gets right to the point, doesn't it? Words we have, we plant seeds. We water seeds and we harvest seeds, all with the words we talk about. Kay and Karina, I have known for 14 years. My little brother Jackson was in the hospital, and I didn't know them very well. He was at St. Mark's, and he was going through a surgery. He was born with a defected heart. I don't think I had even known them a complete year, and this is before my son was born, and my whole family was up at St. Mark's, and we were in this part of St. Mark's where it just had all the glass right there, and it was very dark. And I remember Jackson asking before he kind of went into a small coma, am I dying? And he's my little brother, and I said, I don't think so. And then he went in, and I was the last person to talk to him before he went in a coma. There wasn't cell phones during this time. Well, there were, but we didn't have cell phones. We had home phones. And I told Kay and Karina how things were. I didn't know them very well at the time. And we were going through a really rough time. Jackson had gone into a coma. The doctors didn't know if he was going to wake up. He was supposed to be having a surgery on his heart. There were some other complications. Our family's a big Italian family, and this is my baby brother. I'm watching my mom just heart-wrenchingly go into this state I have never seen her before. She's my mom, she's my pillar, she's my strength, she's my strong, she's my mama. In walk Kay and Karina. And I honestly don't remember which one I fell apart on. They walked in, I turned, and I'm like, one of them took Isabella, the other one I just wept uncontrollably. I never forgot how much they were there. And then they just sat there. And it didn't matter who went in to see Jackson or who went out to see Jackson. And when I say my whole family was there, I'm talking my whole family. They sat next to my mom and they asked, what can we do? My mom didn't know them then. She does now. They entertained Isabella so I could be with my mom and be with my sister. I had to make many phone calls to my dad. The seeds that they planted of love are indescribable. Pastor called the hospital. I get a phone call. What's your name? I say my name. Oh, you have a phone call. Who could be calling me? Pastor. Pastor D called me. Just want to check in. Just wanted to see how things are. Do you need anything? I don't even remember what I said, but the seeds were planted. The seeds were planted with so many people. My aunts were taking care of my mom. We had people taking care of my nieces and nephews. The love that you go through tragic events, but it's not always tragic events that bring seeds planting. You know, when people walk through those doors and we say good morning, that's a seed planted. When we have finances that are, just like Kay said, are we believing? And that comes through. We planted seeds. What we do with our attitude, with our voice, with our time, with our effort, with our energy, everything to do with giving, we are planting seeds. We are watering seeds and we are harvesting seeds. Proverbs 18:21, NIV, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We have opportunities every single day. Multimedia, oh my goodness. We have, I don't tweet. I read them sometimes, but they drive me crazy, actually. Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. My nieces and nephews are on Snapchat. Facebook Messenger. I mean, there are several. Okay, I don't even know what Tinder is, but I know it's something. We have all these ways that we can get a hold of people. Text, video. I recorded my son taking his winning shot at his game yesterday, and the parents were kind of funny. I'm all getting choked up. I'm like, that's my boy. That's my boy. And the parents are like, aw. There's another place to plant seeds. Okay, my kids are in sports and scouts and all of that, so I meet lots of people, lots of different avenues. I know parents, I know kids, I work at a school, again, sports and scouts and, different things we go to. I belong to a group that's called the Mama Dragons. And just because I have a friend and her sister is a part of it, and they said, hey, once a month, will you come and give a message for several GLBT, etc.? will you please come and give a message once a month? Some people believe in God. Some people don't believe in God. Some people are this belief, this church, that church. And then a new door opens because I knew this person who knew this person who knew this person and said, hey, will you come and do this? Seeds. We don't realize the seeds we plant. We don't realize the seeds that we are harvesting either. When you give somebody a hug, they really might have needed that hug right then. That's harvesting love. That's giving love. We need to sow good seeds into fertile ground for a bountiful harvest. Which brings me to another point. Are you receiving? Come on, it's quiet in here. Are you receiving? How many times have we been taught in our life, it's better to give than to receive? All the time. My grandmother used to say it to me all the time. It's better to give than to receive. God has this wonderful, amazing, awesome way of, let's go back for a second. If that's what we're taught, it's better to give than to receive, how are we going to receive from God? How? How are you going to receive from God if you're told it's better to give? Well, no, I can't receive that. No, I got my hair cut yesterday, and I went to give the gal a tip. It's a bigger tip. She shared with me she's going through a hard time. God said, give her this amount. I said, okay. I gave her the amount. She said, let me go get you change. I said, no. She said, no, I can't take this. I said, you sure can. I'm the patron. She's like, I can't do that. I said, why? It's too much. Hey, now that's not to be boastful. Could have been $7, could have been $20. Doesn't matter how much it was. Hey, what it matters is we were taught at a young age, it's better to give than receive. So how are we able to receive from God if that is our mindset? If that is the mindset that's been planted in our heads and in our hearts, it's okay for us to give. Give, 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 give. And then it stresses you out. Is that a seed from God? No, it's not. Christmas, Kay talked about this last year. She gave a message about how it is to give at Christmas time. Is it really about getting, now, I would like a brand new car? Yeah. But is it really about getting a brand new car? No. Absolutely. Absolutely. I want a car. I want a car at Disneyland. God gave me that car. He absolutely gave me that car, and I knew it the minute. And I knew when I went up to play the little game that they had at Disneyland, we went for my birthday, I knew that I was going to win that car. I knew it. And then my mind pushed it out and said, you're not going to win that. And so I'm standing up there in front of lots and lots of people, and this big game at Disneyland is going on, and I'm having a battle in my mind. Am I enjoying my time? It's one of my most favorite places to be. I love Disneyland. I love it. But I'm having a battle in my mind, and am I enjoying this? For a few minutes, no. I seriously checked out for a second. And then back in, and oh, dear, what happened? What's going on? Oh, my turn. It was an amazing event, but I knew that God set me up because I was going to need those finances to do what I needed to do 6 months down the road. God knew. God had already planted the seeds. He already had it in motion. And that's what took care of some things that I needed, desperately needed at that time. But God already knew. So those seeds were planted before I even knew, before I had any idea what I was going to sell that car and need those finances for. Praise God. God knows what we need, but if we're not ready to receive it, what if I'm like, oh no. And you know what I got to do after that, which gives another opportunity? I got to give the car away that I had. I got to give that away, and I got to give just, it was just fun. You know, it was just really a fun chain of events. But God knew before I did. And I'm telling you, if I did not have those things already planted and in season for me, I don't want to think about how the things would have turned out. I don't. But I don't have to. So if we have a mindset that says, better to give than to receive. Is anybody else's life ebb and flow? Oh, just me? Oh, all right. Sometimes I have a season that I get to give. And then there's times and seasons that I'm given to receive. Does that mean I stop giving in that season? No. What are we doing sitting right here? We're being a family. We're showing up. Exactly. We're receiving. What are we going to do downstairs? We're gonna gather together as a family. We're going to receive love and encouragement and ear to listen, hugs, food. If we don't receive the things that God has given us, are we thankful? Forgiveness is a seed sown to forgive and also to be forgiven. Luke 7:43-48 in the Message. Simon answered, I suppose the one who has forgiven the most. That's right, said Jesus, then turning to the woman. But speaking to Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. Then he spoke to her, I forgive your sins. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about forgiveness. Acts 10:42-43. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. What are we planting when we hold grudges? I've held grudges. I've held them. I've held anger. I've said, I still don't understand why they do that. I look and I'm like, years later going, somebody mentioned somebody's name and I'm like, ooh. I had a boss last year, brought me to tears at least 3 times a month, at least. Somebody said her name the other day, and I'm like, ugh, I did. Did I stop and pray for her? There are times last year I did. There are times I asked people to pray with me. Please pray with me. Did I harbor unforgiveness? I did. What seeds were I planting in my own life? And what seeds could I be planting in her life? This is not easy, folks. It's not. And God never said it was going to be. But God said, I'll bring you joy if you trust in me. I'll show you. He said, I will show you where bad things happen. I'll show you where the good is. If you look, if you want to find it. Do you know how many times in this church somebody has said something unkind to me? We're all human. We all have emotions. We all have times that we're not at our very best.
Oh, come on, we're perfect.
I know, Kay. Lord have mercy, we are, aren't we? Huh, Richard? We're perfect. Perfectly human.
Amen.
We are perfectly human. What do you mean things were said to you? Amen to that, if we choose to be, okay? But if we have the seeds that are planted in our life of anger and hurt and we carry them, guess what? They grow. Why? Because they're being watered. They're being watered and times they're being harvested. Now, I've got a lot of things in my life My dad is one of them. I didn't grow up in a Christian church. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. We weren't allowed to have anything to do with God or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit or anything. We weren't allowed to talk about it. My dad decided he was an atheist. So one day I asked my dad something about being an atheist, and I think I was 18 or 19, and he made a comment about God, and I said, I thought you didn't believe in God. And he made a comment about being angry, and I said, how are you angry with somebody you don't believe in? I got a lot of trouble for that. He took the keys away from my car. But it's true. I've been angry at God. Been angry at God, why'd you make me gay? I've been angry at God, why'd you take my brother? I've been angry at God, why'd you take my grandma? I've been angry at God, why am I in a divorce? I've been angry at God, why'd I get fired from a job I love? I've been angry at God, why don't I have any money? I've been angry at God, why am I not a better parent? I've been angry at God, why do I screw up all the time? Why can't I be on time for anything? Why can't, when I make a commitment, why do I make so many commitments? Now, half of those I'm really angry at me, not God. I hate having ADHD for the longest time. And then somebody said, but that's a gift. I said, to who? Who's that a gift to? And then all of a sudden, at 50 years old, I have my first job full-time working as a special education teacher. And then I see, oh, I understand these kids. I understand now, oh, that's why you gave me patience. Now, God did not give me ADHD. That is not what I'm saying, and I don't want that to be what y'all take from that little part right there. God did not give me ADHD. The author of sickness and disease is Satan. He brought it into this world, and I know that. But God, again, said, I'm going to take the things that hurt. I'm going to take the things that are bad. I'm going to turn them into good. And he has. He's turned them into some amazing things. And I have to navigate life different. But we all do. My life is not the same as Jan's. Jan navigates her life. The New Testament says, work out your own salvation in Christ Jesus. That's just another way of God saying it's an individual plan. I have to do IEP, read IEPs, and I make sure that I know my students' IEP. IEP is individual education program or process, or the P stands for something like that. But we are all on an IEP of sorts. Because it's individual. Our relationship with God is, my relationship with Jesus Christ is not mine and Vaughn's. I have a relationship with Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. It's mine, but we're a family. Vaughn and I are a family. You know, we're all in the same family, but that doesn't mean, it's like I have a relationship with my daughter. I have a relationship with my son. There are two individual relationships, but they're still both my kids. 1 John 4:8-10. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we were once upon a time loved, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Where would we be without God? I'd be a hurting mess. I would be a hurting mess. I would have no safety. I would have no security. I would have no feeling of self-worth. I wouldn't. There was a time that I would be like, God doesn't love me. I'm gay. So God only loves certain people in certain boxes with purple polka dots? No. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." There are no parentheses or brackets after that sentence that says you have to fit into these right here, these parentheses, to be loved by God. Nothing. That should set us free right there, just right there, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." Are we in the world? Are we a part of the world? Absolutely. So there are no brackets, no parentheses that says, you have to fit here for me to love you. So, planting things. Hey, Barry, can you get a corn crop going if you're going to plant tomatoes? No. Can you sow bitterness and hate and reap joy and peace? Can we sow negative words and condemnation and reap positive results? Can you sow greed and reap abundance? Without love, we are nothing. In Galatians 5:22-23, God's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I love this. The Bible talks about a different kind of fruit that is an outward sign of love for God. This is where we have the ability to show it. Now, are we ever short on patience? Who I am, I know it. Are we ever short on forgiveness? Short on time? Short on love? Do we ever push anybody's buttons with anger because they hurt us first? Do we ever stand up and, I'm going to show you. That is not how I felt, but you're using my words. That's not what I said. No, we never do anything like that. I never do. I do that. As it is important to God that we develop the fruits of God's Spirit, because these are the qualities of His nature. These qualities are called the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, what do you think it means by that there is no law? A law is a rule and a regulation to keep us safe. That's what a law is. When it talks about against these things there is no law, it means we're free to give them as many times that we possibly can. As many times. Patience. Patience. By the way, patience is one I'm working on. It should be, Richard, it should be my word. We're 3/4 of the way through the year, but it should have been my word. Love. I don't have a problem with love. I really don't. Patience, I do. Joy. I don't always find the joy in things. I don't. I don't want to leave my house. That's very unusual for me. That's very unusual for me to not want to leave my house, because my whole life I've been on the go, on the go, on the go, on the go, on the go. And now I'm in a place where I like jammies and coffee a lot. Peace. So we had $1,400 plus $700 in automobile expenses last month. Right now, there are two very large machines sitting in each of the bathroom upstairs and downstairs. They're called dehumidifiers. Now, this is really silly, but makes the bathroom very, very warm. Wish it was colder outside, because I could appreciate how warm the bathroom is. Right now, we have a leak from our toilet upstairs that's leaking downstairs into the bathroom. Remodeled the bathroom about 2 years ago, and I've remodeled lots of things, put in lots of floors, but the guy that came out to fix the toilet said, when you put in a new floor, put in double wax ring always, because your floor is going to expand and contract. I'm like, I didn't know that. So now we have to have hazmat come, because the leak leaked where we have to have hazmat. It's the prettiest way to say it. So we have two dehumidifiers and big holes in the ceiling downstairs, and a big hole in the ceiling or in the floor right now in the bathroom. Peace. Peace. God, you're going to take care of this. Now, praying that all of homeowners insurance is going to cover this. I'm the one who put it in. Wasn't a licensed contractor. I'm the one who fixed it. Wasn't a licensed contractor. God, thank you for still covering this. Give us peace. Finances are looking, whew. See those trees losing those leaves out there? Now, if I did not have God, if I did not have Jesus Christ, if I did not have the Holy Spirit, what are my options here?
Fear.
Absolutely. Yep, fear. What does anger end up being? Fear. My first reaction, again, I want to be as transparent as possible, okay? I knew, before I'm that transparent, at 16 years old, I knew that I was supposed to be a preacher. I knew that I was supposed to preach. I knew that. And I looked at myself and said, you can't preach, you're stupid. You're dumb. Nobody, you can't keep a friend for anything. Lots of people know you, but why would they want to listen to you? I've had a lot of ministers that I've sat under and throughout the years, and I've seen ministers go through lots of different things, and I always wondered, why don't they just be real? Now, I'm not saying every minister. It's just a handful. So I've always wanted to be transparent and real, okay? If I did not have God, if I did not have peace that passes all understanding, that God is going to take care of the finances, and I don't have to see how he's going to do that. I'm planting seeds of God inside myself, inside my own head, inside my own heart. Remind, why do you think God says, know my word, put it in your heart, remember and stand on it? Because if we don't remember, we don't stand up, we don't know our scriptures, how are we going to battle life? And that's what it comes down to. Peace that passes all understanding. This is going to be taken care of, and guess what? This too shall pass. And it shall. I'm 51 years old. You know how many things have passed through my life? Lord, have mercy. If I stopped and thought every single time, oh, this is the end. Honestly, I've been through a tremendous amount of things. Patience, whoo, still working on it. And I'm not afraid to say, God, give me patience. I am not afraid. Kindness. How hard is it to be kind? It can get hard. So this week, I had a child that I'm also on our team for behavioral issues. So it's a small team of the principal and vice principal and two behavior specialists and myself. This child threw a chair at me. It's not the first time, nor will it be the last time that it's happened. Okay? It is the nature of my job, and I love my job. I love my job. When you are in an emotional state of mind, your frontal cortex does not work. Rather, you have autism, ADHD, anxiety, human. It does not matter. Your frontal cortex does not always check in. This child threw the chair as I'm walking in and clipped my knee, and I'm like, oh. So in that moment, now I can be funny and say if I wanted to keep my job, I'm not going to go, listen here, you little pipsqueak. That's not the word that went through my head. Or do I choose kindness and show that this person, this little kid who is very angry and full of emotions, do I show kindness? Now, we can be funny and smart aleck and say if you want a job, you sure do. Or we can look on the human side of things. People walk into our church, they're broken, they're hurt, they're looking for things. We come every week, broken, hurt, looking, wanting, desiring. There are so many things that go on in each of our lives. Do we stop and consider? Not always, because we're always in our own minds. Not always, but that's pretty exact. But kindness. There's a big thing on Facebook right now that I see pictures that say show kindness all the time. We have the ability to do it. Is it hard to show kindness when you're angry or hurt at somebody, when they've hurt your heart or made you angry or frustrated? Was it hard to show kindness to my boss last year? I invited her to my family for Thanksgiving. I did. And she's like, oh, good, I can use you for an excuse to get out of all of the other Thanksgivings I was invited to. I was like, oh, you, Well, you're welcome if you'd like to. So my thoughts are having one thing and my voice is saying another thing. I'm choosing kindness, and now I need to have a little talk with God and say, ooh, that's not what I was thinking, Lord, but thanks for guarding my mouth. Goodness and faithfulness. They're all different. It seems like kindness and goodness should go together, right? They're two separate words. You can be kind and you can be good. Faithfulness. I have never not had a time that God is not faithful to me. But many times I have had to ask forgiveness for not being faithful to him. The fruits of the Spirit are what we should be working on. Because just as I read right here, the Bible talks about a different kind of fruit that is an outward sign of love for God. As it is important to God that we develop the fruits of God's Spirit, because these are the qualities of his nature. We are his kids. I'm a king's kid. With all of my flaws, I am still a king's kid. The only way we're going to have these things that are planted into us is one, we ask, two, we believe, three, we receive, four, we read the Bible to know. And then we give and we receive, and it goes both ways. And the fruits of the Spirit and the things that we get to plant in our life, and we have things that we have the opportunity to plant in others. Love, forgiveness, words, positive words. Plant positive words in your own life. Don't say, I can't do that. You're not only limiting yourself, you're limiting God. Father God, we boldly go to your throne room as we... I love your word, Lord. I love your word. I love how it puts me in a place where I can easily condemn myself and say, I'm not doing this, 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 or this. And you say, I know. I know you're not. But I love you. And my love covers a multitude of sins. And that I give you a fresh new beginning. And that when you need the wisdom and the knowledge and how to handle a situation, just ask me and I'll give it to you. Read my word. Know the promises I give to you. Know that I will never leave you. I will never leave you. Know that. Have faith in that. Stand on that. I love you right where you're at. With all your flaws, I love you. I love you. And I love you with my all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for knowing. Thank you for knowing us individually. Thank you for knowing our strengths and wanting to increase our strengths. And thank you for knowing our weaknesses and knowing that you want to increase our strengths to know more weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, that our life is a breath of you. We thank you for the opportunity to be your light, your love, your forgiveness, your joy, your kindness, your goodness. Thank you that we not only receive those, that we have the opportunity to plant, to water, to harvest. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name, amen.